Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is the 12th of February, 2015. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, joined by Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And it's I don't know exactly what to call this show. This is almost like the spy versus spy edition of Webcology. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fun show today. We have a lot to go through. I think the big thing we're going to be talking about starting after the first break is, Google giving technology companies in the Valley and beyond a 90-day warning. Fix your bugs or we're going to rat on you. Christine Schackinger, our resident security expert, coming on to talk about what Google might be talking about. But before we get to that, Dave, it's been a kind of cool week.
Interesting
stuff going down.
Yeah. Where do you want to start? We got lots.
Well, let's start with the easy short one. Expedia just swallowed Orbitz.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
$1.6 billion deal saw Expedia grow by the size of Orbitz, and now it's pretty much a duel, I guess, between Expedia and Priceline.
Yeah, I found it interesting. I was reading about this over at Search Engine Land. I don't know where you were reading about it. Obviously, it's pretty big news. And I found it interesting that Greg, who is the author over at Search Engine Land, writing about it, had put this spin, because there was the worry, as I'm sure you remember, and as do most of our listeners, when Google entered the travel space. and this idea that they were just going to absolutely crush. And now I find it interesting that in Search Engine Land, this is an environment where people are actually, or the author at least, is actually sounds almost thankful Google's there to be this counterbalance in a contracting, like from a number of companies involved, contracting kind of marketplace. And now because of the limited competition, you know, hey, isn't it great that the little guy Google is there?
Well, you know, coming from Greg, that's Greg Sterling.
Yes, it is.
And coming from Greg, that makes sense, given I remember years ago when Greg was covering the IAC Corporation. You know, IAC, they're the conglomerate that owns like a gajillion web properties, one of which is Expedia.
Yeah.
They also used to own Ask Jeeves or Ask.com. And Greg has been covering IAC for, well, as long as I've been reading them. And how to say this about IAC is one of those weird companies. Like, they produce B and C rate properties on the internet. Not that their properties are bad, but they're not the A list properties, right? The ones that immediately come to mind.
Right.
But they, you know, Expedia, OkCupid, you know, a number of the leaders of various niches. That's what IAC is all about. IAC is owned by activist intervener shareholder Barry Diller, and Greg Sterling, who has like always covered the finance of the tech world, mm-hmm. way up his alley. It's neat that I agree with you. It's neat that he sees Google as the plucky little guy here.
It's just kind of fun and a worthwhile point that in this environment, yeah, you know what? It almost is good that there is Google there to act as a counterbalance to stop, you know, obviously competition breeds fair pricing for the most yep. part.
Well, it's a big shakeup for people who use aggregate travel websites. Expedia versus Priceline, because that's pretty much the universe that you're booking in now.
Yeah.
Okay, remember, here's a follow-up on something we did last week. We talked about last week. Google has been asking webmasters to, you know, help out with the improvement of Google Search and Google Webmaster Tools. Well, the first Google Search Impact Report has gone live for the webmasters who are participating in the program. Google is basically trying to create a better environment for webmasters to read analytics and take action in. At Search Engine Land, published earlier today, 9:28 a.m. by Barry Schwartz, there's screenshots of the new tool.
What do you think?
It's been described as Google Analytics Lite. I don't know exactly what to think yet. I mean, I've only looked at the screenshot and really quickly scanned the article. My first reaction is every time they make a change to Google Analytics or Universal Analytics, every time they make a change to the way they name various items or elements, it takes me days to figure out what's going on.
It does. In looking through what Barry had posted here, I mean, I was excited. You know, we'd all kind of heard rumors of this going on. I was excited as soon as Barry posted it, and hey, he got a sneak peek at the back end, and of course I had to check mine, and I'm like, nah, nobody gave me a sneak peek at the back end. But anyway, one of the things I love, this solves to me a big problem. Now, if we go back to and for our listeners who've been doing this for more than a few years, if you go back in time in your analytics, wasn't it interesting to be able to look when there was a search ranking algo change or something like that and do a comparison? I really want to see what it did to this keyword's traffic, that sort of thing, which of course we can't do anymore. You can see your global traffic, but you couldn't get that deep dive down. It appears that one of the features that they're adding, among many, but one of the big features and one I've been hoping for and waiting for, and was on the cusp of just going, screw it, I'm going to try and build something that'll do something kind of like this, is doing a date range comparison. So looking at, you know, this month or the month just passed versus the month before it or whatnot, to actually take a look at how did my impressions and how did my clicks for this term go up this time frame versus this time frame. That's been something I've been really waiting for. I think that's going to be really neat. And you can do the same thing, you know, as they've done a lot with analytics and webmaster tools. You can do the same thing when you dig down and go, hey, what happened to my mobile? Well, okay, we know there's some big shake ups in mobile. What did that do? And comparing your date ranges, not just having this like big chunk of time you need to look at. You can actually look at what happened after this time frame versus before that time frame in a more customized way. I really like it. Everything that I'm seeing, I like. The only thing I don't like is that they didn't invite me to the beta. Yeah. other than me throwing a temper tantrum on that point, I think it needs some refinement. But I think they've got a home run here and providing us some data we used to have lost that was still valuable. And I'm looking forward to getting access to it.
Well, speaking of that. One of the new reports that Google will make available, or looks like they will be making available, is called Queries Report. And I'm wondering if that's a hint that they're going to let us back in on the words or phrases search users use to get to our sites.
They definitely are. I'm sure you've seen it. Like the writing's been on the wall for a while. They've been getting more and more advanced in what they are giving us as far as query data, pages that are attached to specific query data, stuff like that. So they've been giving us more and more as we've been going along. I think to them, the big key here is, and I don't really blame them for this, is separating our analytics from our keyword data, right? Forcing us to look in two different places and make actual decisions based on different, you know, on full data rather than making these decisions based on what I kind of think is going on. But that's just my opinion.
Well, according to Barry, these are just the what we're looking at right now. And again, if you go to Search Engine Land, it's one of the lead stories today. What you too could be looking at if you're looking at these pages. This is the alpha version. This is the very first. I think we might have it. Why don't you guys take a look at it, test version? And the people who were involved in the in testing this, are going to beat the heck out of it and give their feedback back to Google engineers, and Google engineers are going to improve on it. So what we're seeing today might radically change tomorrow. But what we're seeing today, it looks kind of spiffy cool.
Yeah, no, I know. I think it's great. I think it's going to be really, really helpful when we all get our accesses to it. But and I look forward to doing another show where we can actually report you and I on what we actually see when we get in there.
Yeah, when they allow us in.
Exactly, the great unwashed.
Okay, we got about 5 minutes before we got to go to break, so we can get another couple stories in. Another one that was put up yesterday in Search Engine Land, and I'm so glad somebody has written this. Stefan Spencer writes on understanding and explaining a realistic SEO timeline. Before we dive into this, I've just got to ask, how often do you get phone calls from people who've been shopping around for SEO and you know they talked to the desperate SEO company over there somewhere who told them that they could have the moon and the stars in like a month and you got to talk them back from that ledge or you can't talk to them at all?
Right. Yeah.
It happens all the time, there. Right?
Yeah, sure does. We can make it pop. Yeah. I think this is a great piece. I know the one you're talking about. I think it did need to be written exactly what you're saying. But what is he telling us for timelines, give or take?
The too long didn't read version of this article is, it really depends on your websites and what you're trying to accomplish. Everything is different. Every situation is different. I don't even know how to explain this, but you could have two exact websites built exactly the same, running on different servers, and I can guarantee you a good SEO will find different, will find a difference between the two websites.
Yeah.
So there's no pat answer for how long it's going to take to get rankings. You can't SEO stuff faster. I don't know about your practice, Dave, but we insist on doing an audit before going into any SEO contract simply because we don't know exactly what we're looking at until we know exactly what we're looking at.
Oh, that sounds really organized, because what I like to do is I grab about 8 darts and put a dartboard on the wall, each area with what we'd like to do, each dart representing an hour, and I just pitch them.
That makes sense, too.
you figure you're going to cut, over a year, you're going to cover all your bases because you're going to have done everything. Just law of averages.
Yeah. Well, that works when you have really big clients who pay you like that. But the point to that, and of course, you guys do audits before diving in as well. It's the only way to do it, or it's the only safe way to do it. When you do your audit, you're going to find one of 1,000 variables. Who knows what you're going to find? And it always happens to me. Yeah? You're doing the initial call with a potential client. You're looking at their website. Everything looks just fine, and it rolls off your tongue. And even though you didn't mean to say it, you say, "Well, everything looks just fine."
Yeah,
this shouldn't take us that long. Not long at all, sir. And then, you find yourself, trapped in that statement. It's a really good article. It's something that I actually think that might be wise for SEOs to send to their clients so that they have a really good sense of, how we stake as SEOs, how we stake our own expectations. The only problem, of course, with sending this article to your clients is they might get a really good idea of who Stefan Spencer is, and then you lose your client. For those who don't know, Stefan is a brilliant, truly brilliant SEO, and a wonderful, wonderful, interesting creature, but a truly, truly brilliant SEO. Okay, what else we got going here? Do we have time for anything else? We got about 3 minutes.
All right, well, we can talk. Oh, there's just so much. For those who don't, I'll just recommend our listeners go somewhere because I can't possibly describe this as cool as it is. But if you head on over to PCMag.com, it's Google's Building Dogs for those who don't know.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you've seen the video floating around, but this thing recovers extremely well in a variety of terrain and when it's knocked and kicked and all that sort of stuff. I knew they were building them. I'd heard about this months back. To use as sort of carriers for the military, right? Like just run, you know, when you need to get equipment into danger zones and stuff like that, you know, fire this thing in. And it does, you know, obviously it has no fear, right? And it goes. It
scares the Jesus out of your enemy too.
Well, it certainly will, because you'll have this pack of weird looking robotic dogs running at you. But it's really, really cool. And if for any of our listeners who have an understanding of robots and how difficult it is, thank you, Brasco. If you can understand what's at work in making this thing sort of kick resistant and stuff like that, and being able to recover the way it does, it's a really, really cool thing to see if you have a fundamental understanding of robotics, which, you know, is very fundamental.
You know what I found weirdest about this product? I mean, I've known that Google and DARPA have been working on the militarized robotic dog project for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
But what I found weirdest about it was the legs of the robotic dog look so realistic that when I saw the video of that fellow kicking it, I empathized. I mean, it hurt me to watch him kick this robot. Right. I empathized with the robotic dog because it looks like it, and it crouches and it pulls away like a dog would. You know?
Right.
That was amazing.
Yeah, it does. And you know what? I mean, because it's robotic and something that's kind of neat for us to think about in and of ourselves is because it is robotic, they could make it do whatever it wanted. They could put it in whatever shape it wanted. They could make it travel in whatever means that they wanted to. I find it really, really interesting that out of all the different ways they could make this thing look, the way they could make it run, the way they could, you know, build this thing out, it turns out that after billions of years of evolution, our own bodies are actually a great template for efficiency of movement.
Go figure.
Go figure.
Okay, on that, speaking of efficiency of movement, if we do these commercial breaks exactly 20 minutes after and 20 minutes before the top and bottom of the hour, that's efficient. Cool, huh? Yeah. And on that, it's about 20 minutes after the hour, so we should be taking a commercial break here on Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. It's the 12th of February 2015, and we're going to be back after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services. PPCprofessionals.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart, or you've read their SEO code of ethics, seen other SEO experts, but did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at bruceclay.com.
All-Inclusive Marketing is the luxurious five-star resort of digital marketing.
Welcome to All-Inclusive Marketing.
Engage with All-Inclusive Marketing's award-winning strategists to ramp up your online profitability and brand exposure, driving new customer acquisitions, increased sales, and stronger buyer retention.
Another mojito, please?
All-Inclusive Marketing's full-service digital and performance marketing accommodates every brand, specializing in retail, travel, and in software as a service.
What a great room.
The A in All-Inclusive Marketing means award-winning leadership, excellence in results, as well as an A rating by the Better Business Bureau. For reach, engagement, and conversion, it's All-Inclusive Marketing. Reserve a free consultation today at allinclusivemarketing.com/radio.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is the 12th of February, 2015. We got a special guest sitting on the line. Christine Schackinger, our resident security expert, is going to be here to talk about a pretty bizarre story. But before we get there, Dave, I bet you I can connect Kanye West to the story we're about to talk about. Want to bet? Want to make a bet?
I guess you got this locked and loaded, so you go right ahead, Jim.
Okay, and I promise I will not say the word douchebag after this point, even though I'm talking about Kanye West. Promise.
Okay. All right.
So, Kanye West and Sir Paul McCartney did a duet a couple of weeks ago, and a number of young people who'd never heard of the Beatles thought, wow, isn't it nice that Kanye's doing something with that old guy to make him famous? Well, I understand why they thought that, because the last time Paul McCartney had a major hit in the United States was a song for a movie starring Dan Aykroyd and, John Candy. I knew I should have looked this up first. Dan Aykroyd and John Candy called Spies Like Us. Paul McCartney recorded the title track to that, and that was his last hit before he did a duet with Kanye West. Spies Like Us
is
was
awesome.
About two well-intended but completely bumbling fools who found themselves in the middle of the fight in Afghanistan between the Soviets and the Mujahideen back in the 80s, okay? And they stumbled their way into it and had a whole bunch of good intentions and ended up screwing everything up. Well, Spies Like Us reminds me of the stuff that's going on around Google right now. And that's how I can connect Kanye West to this story. Well, I mean, I know it's a stretch, but it's like 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, right?
Right.
Okay, so Google has put all the technology companies that they can either get their hands on or that they want to threaten a little bit, they put them on 90 days notice. And they basically said, you've got 90 days, 89 as of now, because they said this yesterday, you got 90 days to work out the bugs, flaws, holes, and insecurities in your softwares, or we're going to rat you out. Not only going to rat you out, we're going to publish the flaw publicly. So hop to it, boys. That's what Google said. Sexist, huh? Hop to it, boys. I mean, can you imagine? So anyway, like...
Really, that's your problem with this statement, Jim? Hop to
no,
it,
well,
boys?
No, it's not. It's not. Say hop to it, boys. I'm paraphrasing. They swore a lot. We can't say that because, you know, we got this Clear Channel thing. I can't come close to what the Google people must have been saying to the other companies. Or could you imagine what the other companies were saying once Google got off the phone? We can't say that either. But the point is, Google put their competition on 90 days notice saying, get it fixed or we're ratting you out. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. It's crazy. What do you think?
Christine, I'll let you lead the charge here because this is right up your alley.
Okay, Christine, my first question to you is, what the hell are they doing?
I have no idea. Just to clarify one thing, though, I'm not a security expert. I report on it and I know about it. There are people that know way more than I ever would.
You are a resident security expert. Yeah, exactly. I qualified the statement.
But yeah, on Google, I have no idea. I even talked to some of the people that I know are leading, you know, White Hat security companies, and their same answer was what the, and I won't fill in the blank. But yeah, the public outing is supposed to pressure them into getting everything fixed in time, in a certain time frame.
But, okay, 90 days. They said 90 days.
Right, right. And they're putting it on a website so you can go look at what the bugs are.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at that page right now.
I said that's crazy. Just tons of things there that they've been forcing them to work on since September.
You know what's crazier? I'm looking at the page I'm looking at, which was published earlier today, lists 138 unique problems. Some of them are with Apple. Some of them are with Microsoft. Some of them are with Macromedia. There's some Adobe stuff in here.
Well,
but that's about it. Now, the thing is, most of them are fixed. Google's published.
Well, that's...
But there's some of them. There's six of them that say won't fix.
Well,
What I mean is the clause here, it's open. I'm reading the background on Symlink to local file vulnerability, which was discovered October 27th, 2014. I'm reading all about it right now, but Symlink won't fix it. I'm sorry, Windows won't fix it.
Well, and we don't know the reason why, right? Because it could be that it requires a massive undertaking, and that's why making people conform to a 90-day specification that's so arbitrary, as anyone who's done development knows, is just a way to actually make more errors probably than it is fixes, because you're rushing the code process. And then in addition, they started the zero-day team in July. And the zero-day team is a zero-day, for those who don't know, it just means a vulnerability that a developer doesn't know about yet. So they started examining Apple and Microsoft back in July and started reporting on the first big one, I think, was September, and are continuing. And then have now given them a final 90 days. So originally they had 90 days from the bug they found. Now it's like they have 90 days to fix everything, which is kind of a craziness. And I also kind of wonder what the legality issues are. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. But if they publicly disclose the vulnerability before it's fixed and then they are attacked – and they lose data or they lose customers or whatever it is, they're as powerful as Google is in the lawyer department. So who starts suing who?
Indeed. It's a again, this is it leaves me almost speechless in that I can't imagine why Google is going out on this limb, what they hope to accomplish. Is it a head fake? Like, they put a 90-day, you got 90 days to fix this. So that makes me wonder, what's happening in the next 90 days?
Yeah, it makes me wonder, too, about that and have to look into that for sure. The Microsoft, I forget who it was from Microsoft, one of the leads at Microsoft, you know, spoke back to them publicly and just said this was foolishness and it's a lose-lose for everybody, including Google. And they're primarily going after Apple and Microsoft, and instead of, you know, privately disclosing or telling them ahead of time, they're just publicly outing. So that's kind of a big no-no, way uncool kind of thing to do in that sector.
The spokesperson for Microsoft is named Chris Benz, and he suggests it unduly pressures an already complicated technical environment and goes on to say, this is a zero-sum game where all parties end up getting injured.
Agreed.
Let's take a step back. So Google had formed this team in July. They called it Project Zero or Team Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Spy versus spy stuff. Run by Mr. Black.
But could you imagine if I as a security, let's just say for house expert, right? I went around the houses in my neighborhood and I found their vulnerabilities and then I published them in the paper if they didn't fix them in 90 days. You can break in the house through this window and you can open the door with this lock and here's the pick that will work on that. It's kind of an insane way to try to get this done, and it's completely non-cooperative.
Well, and again, I really want to emphasize a point you made a few sentences ago. they're as likely to create as many vulnerabilities as they fix, or more vulnerabilities than they fix, because they're rushing people to patch stuff.
Exactly. On top of their normal workloads. So,
how seriously, now let's take a step back. Let's forget Google's doing this. Let's pretend that instead of it being Google, it's a group of, to be charitable, we'll call them white hat hackers, who have said, you know what, enough's enough. Our society is far too insecure, and the software companies got to pull up their socks. Would we have the same negative reaction to this kind of leak?
Oh, actually, I think it'd be stronger, because at that point it's illegal, right?
Well, hold on. Which point is it illegal? The private corporation's doing it, so it's okay, but if individuals do it, is it illegal?
I can't tell you that. I'm not a lawyer. I just know that you can't. There's people at Facebook's gone after who didn't go through the proper channels to report a bug to them, to report a vulnerability. So it has happened in the past when a hacker has tried to do good. And I'm just talking regular hacker. It doesn't have to be white or black. A black hat, white hat. They have done that and have gotten in trouble legally. So I don't know how Google gets around that issue, except that they're just that powerful. And the companies are going after that powerful. On the other side of it, the thing is, a lot of hackers do actually, they just like the game of it. You know, if you talk to quite a few, they like the challenge. They like the puzzle. They will inform the company of their vulnerabilities, either by leaving a message on their site or by informing them directly if they feel they can do it without getting in trouble.
Well, that's
already part of the community.
So why didn't Google choose that path? Why wouldn't Google just leave, like, you know, a little Easter egg?
I don't, you know, the only thing I can say, and I have nothing to base it on, is just opinion, and so it may sound more subjective than objective, but I think they've just gotten a little bit arrogant. They've been policing our industry, the SEO industry, for the last year, and now they're branching out into security. They've decided that they're the ones who are going to make the net what they want it to be.
As I may professionally resent them policing the SEO industry the way they have, I've always been able to say, "Well, yeah, but it's your engine." So,
yeah, exactly. And it is for better websites, so I don't have that problem with it as much as some other people do.
In this case, though,
go ahead.
In this case, they're playing in somebody else's backyard. They're running in, grabbing it, saying, "Hey, look, this guy's socks are dirty. It's not just ours. This guy's socks are dirty too."
Well, it's like we have 3 800-pound gorillas, because they're all about the same size, right? And one is going after two. I just can't imagine that the 2 800-pound gorillas aren't at some point going to join up and go after the one. And boy, Google better hope that it has no security flaws, which I know is not true. So it's like standing there in your glass house and throwing rocks at the one next door, right? And the one on the other side of you and expecting them not to attack back.
Which brings us back to the original question, what the hell is Google doing and why?
Dave, you usually have a good perspective on these things, because I really, my only answer right now is arrogance. It really, well, they've gotten for their britches is the only thing I can think of.
I have to wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I think this is pure arrogance, and it's almost funny to me, because I can sort of watch what's about to happen. I may be wrong, because of course we're all sort of speculating this is a new thing. But I think they have their threats inward are in fact threefold. I mean, they have, you're right, they've got these 3 200-pound gorillas. One's trying to attack two, but then you also have these renegades over at Anonymous or similar companies who are going to be looking at this going, oh, really? Really? You're the police, are you? I mean, this is exactly the sort of stuff they target and go, oh, you think you're the police? Wrong. Right?
True. Very, very true.
So they'll be able to teach Google.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And Jim, I think it's just an arrogance of Google. I think they have just gotten so big for their britches, they're out of touch with the, you know, the landscape, and they think that they can force this issue because it makes their world better. But they didn't do anything to try to compromise or negotiate with the other people to try to make their world better. So all they've done is made their world harder, and the attempt to make their world better, and that never works out well, in my opinion, in the end.
Well, okay, let's look back to last year. There was the Heartbleed virus.
Right.
Now, as I understand it, people programmers knew about the Heartbleed issue for quite a while, but nobody had actually, you know, moved to fix it. And then, you know, it got exploited. I don't know the kind of chaos it caused in America, but in Canada, it shut down Revenue Canada, our tax man. It shut down their website during tax time.
Yeah.
It was a massive issue because so many sites used that free service that they were...
Okay, but again, people knew that vulnerability. Like, some people in the tech industry knew the vulnerability was there, but no one was talking about it. It was left open, and nobody fixed it. Nobody pressured anyone. It was left open, but they knew it was there, a limited group of people. Might Google save us from another Heartbleed by being big bullies, but might they save us from that? I mean, that must have cost billions.
Actually, no, I don't think so, because if you've ever worked in development, you know it takes the time it takes, right? So when you think something's a small issue, you get into it, you might find, wow, this is so massive, we have to restructure, you know, 6 months worth of things, right? So by trying to make them do it in 90 days, or they're going to get attacked, because once they publish the issues, they will get attacked. You're forcing them to do something faster than it should be done. And in that case, there are going to be mistakes and errors, and there's just going to be other vulnerabilities created. That's my thought.
Well, let me, okay. I have to phrase what I'm saying really carefully, because I don't want it to sound like I actually, you know, support what Google's doing, because I don't. I think it's not cool.
Totally uncool.
You know, I guess I gotta ask. If you're a company who publishes a piece of software, say someone as big and essential as Microsoft, and you know there's a vulnerability that you know other people know is out there, do you have a responsibility to remove that software from the ecosystem as much as possible?
Well, remember, 0 days are ones they don't know about. So that's a different kind of a different area, a different question.
Well, indeed, but none of these can be 0 days given Google's telling them they're here.
Well, yeah, that's true. But to give an example, though, Google had, I can't see if it was fixed or not, but for at least a year, had the issue where the little audio symbol on your Chrome browser tab that tells you there's something playing there could be used to actually open up a window and listen to anything in a room, and it was quite an easy hack. Google reported it. Someone reported it to Google. Google paid the person the bug fee, and it sat open for 9 months. That's the last record I can find, so I can't find out if it was fixed.
Well, so, yeah, I'd heard a rumor that instead of actually fixing that, they're calling it a feature now.
It's Google. It might be. But yeah, Google's quite hypocritical, right? This was just last year. This is not a long time ago. And their Droid phones are known for being hackable. Right? The attack surfaces on a Droid phone are quite expensive.
Is there... How to say this? We're running out of time for this segment. We're going to have to go to commercial break in a second. I really want to leave on some positive note of some sort or another. I'm having a hard time finding it here. There is a coincidence here. There's a remake of a spy movie called The Man from U.N.C.L.E. that's coming out in theaters, I believe, this week, or at least trailers are appearing for it this week. And we got, like, you know, Project Zero, Team Zero. These are names directly out of a spy movie. this is all about, you know. Hey, Sony, sorry we left you open there, guys, so let's make it up to you here.
Well, because Zero Day isn't quite... I don't know the movie well enough to know, but Zero Day is an actual term. So that's why they call it Project Zero, so I don't know if they're related, but it's possible.
Somehow I doubt it.
I said I don't know the movie, so...
just isn't showing these days.
But the Snowden documentary is coming out at the end of this month. So I don't know if that has any, I doubt it, but that could have something to do with it because it's going to start showing on HBO regularly.
You mean the Snowden documentary that sort of links Google to the NSA? Maybe this is a, we're not so bad. Look at those guys move.
It's possible because Assange linked them. And then another report just came out about a month ago. I don't know in the movie if they link them. But I do know it's all the early days of Snowden's contact with the reporter and his leaving the country and stuff. So it's it's got quite a good reviews. So I don't know if there's something that they're worried about, but obviously there's something 90 days out that's a concern. So
obviously Google is again, well, I can't say they're obviously doing something, though obviously they are. They're threatening to rat out other companies if they don't get those bugs fixed. That's what we know for sure. Everything else, with lack of clarity, leaves speculation. Ben, that's exactly what everything has been in this segment. We don't know what Google's doing except they're outing other companies.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be met well, but we'll see. I don't, like Dave said, I don't, not just the big companies that they're attacking, but from the community itself, because they don't like that kind of arrogance. So,
safe assumption, it's not going to be taken well.
No.
Okay, Christine, we gotta leave it at that. We gotta jump to a break here on Webcology. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Friends, that was Christine Schackinger, our resident security expert. She'll be joining us again almost certainly as the weeks go on. We're going to be coming back. We're going to be talking about, speaking of like clumsy spy stories, how about the TV that might or might not listen to you while you talk? It is the 12th of February, 2015. Tomorrow's Friday the 13th. Duck and cover, friends. You're listening to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. We're going to be back after these messages.
Sit tight and move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
ShipStation helps online retailers ship orders faster. It's so easy to set up and use. ShipStation gives you tools to automatically import, manage, and ship your orders in the most cost-efficient way. Save money with the best USPS rates possible, as well as a free USPS account. ShipStation integrates with all the most popular e-commerce platforms and shipping carriers. Get shipping done no matter where you sell or how you ship. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/WebmasterRadio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here.
InternetMarketingINC.com is one of the fastest-growing, full-service digital marketing agencies in the country, specializing in providing results-driven online marketing solutions. Internet Marketing Inc.'s passionate team prides themselves on staying ahead of marketing trends to create and implement campaigns that get more traffic to your website, gain positive brand awareness, and drive conversions. If you are looking for a data-driven approach to online marketing and advertising, call Internet Marketing Inc. today at 866-563-0620 or visit internetmarketinginc.com.
Whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. Namejet.com puts you in the pilot seat by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on Earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, Namejet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to Namejet.com at Mach speed to get great domains today. Namejet.com.
Introducing Rumble, the smart mobile management system, the first end-to-end mobile platform where you can make real-time app modifications from a point-and-click dashboard. Want to change the design of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Want to change the ad map of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Want to change the content mix of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Power your mobile business with Rumble.
Are you ready to rumble?
Visit www.rumble.me.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is the 12th of February, 2015. We're rounding out our show, and, you're listening to us either live over webcast or via podcast. But for all I know, you could be one of the people sitting in a windowless room transcribing my speech as heard over my mobile Android device or my new Samsung television.
I'm with you.
chances are you're listening in via podcast. We assume that. Well, I mean, okay, Dave, the story about Samsung puts in their privacy policy a warning telling users to not discuss personal or sensitive information around their television lest it be captured and transmitted to a third party. That's exactly what they said.
Yep.
Well, that freaked the heck out of a lot of people. The blogosphere was nuts about it over the last couple of days, eh?
Yeah, and rightfully so. That's essentially saying, hey, hope you aren't having any private conversations in your living room or, in a lot of cases, bedroom. Right? Like, really? Really? Are you telling me? Is this what's going on right now? Is this what you're putting in your terms? I shouldn't have a private conversation in my house?
Like, it's not a problem if you don't mind it being captured and transmitted to a third party.
Well, you know what? I totally suppose that's true. And, I mean, hearkening back to those wonderful days of the Cold War. I mean, you know, the leaders, the bastion of freedom, the Soviet Union under the Cold War, did have the motto, just don't do anything wrong and you have nothing to worry about. So, you know, I mean, it's good to see us following that that lead to freedom and continuing on. I hate this. Come out and you hadn't quite got the gist. I hate this. I hate every part about it. And interestingly, I actually saw a write-up, and I wasn't able to track it down right before our call here, that actually has Samsung's write-up, you know, about it being transmitted to third parties and don't speak, and an actual passage, and it's frighteningly similar, from 1984.
I saw that the other day. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, and it's like these tech companies have read you know, George Orwell's book and thought, that is an awesome blueprint for the future. it's just ridiculous.
Okay, I mean, I got a whole bunch of points, but since you brought literature into it, I just got to go there. I've often thought that Aldous Huxley's Brave New World was a more prescient look at the future. That's where we give ourselves over to easy pleasures. You don't need to really control people as long as they're giving themselves over to simple, easy, hedonistic pleasures. Like Facebook, the instant reward one gets from Facebook, right?
Right.
But then something like this happens and it goes straight to Orwell. No denying the parallels with 1984. Unless, of course, you're Samsung. Because what do you think they're denying today?
Well, and of course, and it's like, then you don't write it in. I mean, the thing is, and we as a society need to ask ourselves these questions, right? Do I like the idea of having a voice-activated device? Of course, we all do. I mean, did we all watch Star Trek, you know, either the first or next generation as kids and go, that is awesome?
Yeah,
of course we did. And all of that technology requires an always listening device.
Yes.
And we want these things. What we don't have yet is any kind of reassurance or requirement that our privacy be protected in this. And I think that's the big problem, is that the laws and privacy requirements haven't caught up with the technology yet.
One thing I really want to note about the comparison with Star Trek and this technology: the Star Trek universe is in a post-capitalist society. There is no money.
Right.
There is no exploitation of those who have less money. And that's what, I mean, from a privacy and a sociologist, a layperson sociologist perspective, this is what scares me the most. Your insurance company doesn't need to know that you eat potato chips like they're going out of style. One of the last things you want your insurance company to hear is the crackle of your bong. to be straight up, I mean, for Colorado residents, of course. There's a third party called Nuance Communications, which, according to Samsung, is the recipient of any information that comes over the voice recognition feature. Now, that voice recognition feature exists so that you can command your television what to do. Okay, you instead of having to push a button on a zapper, which you're going to lose every 5 minutes, you just talk to your TV. TV, channel 6. So the TV has to listen to know that you're saying TV channel 6, right? Just like my Android phone has to hear the command, OK Google, it works, and then the search feature comes up. But that means, as you said earlier, my phone's always listening, and, you know, someone's hearing what I'm saying is going somewhere. I proved this once. I had my phone beside my radio. I was listening to CBC, sort of like NPR up in Canada, and there was a story on middle-aged women. Sure enough, next time I went to make a phone call on my Android device, I saw an advertisement for feminine hygiene products. Now, I don't know if you can tell by the tone of my voice, but I tend not to look up anything to do with feminine hygiene products, so that it grosses me out. It doesn't. It's just I have zero need for them myself.
Right.
But this ad came up on my phone after the phone had sat beside my near my radio, and my radio was playing a segment on on women moving into middle age. That could just be like, you know, correlation, not being causation, but I don't think so.
Well, but I mean, you bring up an interesting point, and you know, we've slammed this, and I have noted I have big problems with the fact that I need the technology to continue to evolve because I like the world that it leads to. I need the laws and requirements of privacy to catch up and surpass to make sure that I'm protected. But you bring up a really interesting point here. Not just that, you know, the ads are being mistargeted to you, but when we think about stuff like this, when we can think about the fact that we can hear that the crinkles, you know, the chip bag crinkling, can overhear a bong bubbling. Think as a marketer for a second, and you've just that bong is bubbling, and now the pizza ads are firing away, right?
Like, exactly.
It just makes sense. Like, as a marketer, this technology is making me salivate. You know, not just because I'm thinking of pizza right now and it's about lunchtime here, but, you know, I mean, while I hate all this from a privacy standpoint, because it is the Wild West right now, because there's no reason, there's nothing in place to protect me. As a marketer, I'm like, oh, I would love to know that Jim's just, you know, has a bag of chips in front of him, and that I should, you know, now's probably a great time to put up a commercial for Coca-Cola, right? Or something like that.
As a marketer, that really entertains me. As, again, somebody who's quite interested in why humans do what they do, that scares the heck out of me, because now we're able to basically immediately fulfill desire because we know exactly what the desire is.
Right.
And that means we can, be pretty clear about it, manipulate the heck out of people, like really create behaviors.
Yeah.
And that scares me a lot.
As it should.
Okay, just to be really fair and balanced and stuff, I love saying that. Samsung says, we're not listening to your conversations. We honestly don't care, which is probably true. Because you can imagine what most conversations sound like. You've been in them. it's like, I don't care about most conversations I'm in, for God's sake, and I'm in the middle of them. But, and I will say this for Sanyo. They're the only company at all who actually put in their privacy policy, yo, be aware, the more you know, right?
Right. Oh, no, it is true, and I do give them credit for that. They were the only ones that have put that in there in a litany of technologies that have the same capabilities.
Exactly, and think of how many things. Do you remember back in like the early part of this century, 2003, 2004, when you started getting software like Windows or Photoshop that started reporting back home?
Yeah.
This is scarier. Almost as scary as hearing the hook music at the end of our show, because we have so much to say, but we've gone over time, so we're going to have to say it really quickly. Friends, you've been listening to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. On behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. We really want to thank the friends in Fort Lauderdale or in Boca Raton. Brasco in the booth. Frank on the phones. Stick around, Webmaster Radio friends. We got great stuff coming up after the news. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm